Okay, so we're diving into something today that might not immediately grab you. Menopause research funding.
Right.
Doesn't exactly sound like a thriller, but trust me on this, it's big.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Huge news.
Could change the lives of millions of women. We're talking about a whole new approach to women's health, and I think that's worth a closer look, don't you?
Definitely. And what's really fascinating to me is that we're seeing a bunch of things kind of come together all at once.
Interesting. So our main source today is this video. It's from Eloy Women's Health.
Yeah.
And they're talking about this investment in menopause care and research, a big investment, like $275 million.
Yeah, huge.
So where did all this support suddenly come from?
Well, it's not totally out of the blue. There's been a movement for better menopause care and research for a while now.
Yeah.
This funding is kind of the result of a few big things that have happened, like the Menopause Research and Equity Act.
Okay.
We've also got a White House executive order that's specifically addressing menopause. And then you've got more people just talking about it openly, like even senators discussing hot flashes right there on the Senate floor.
Senators talking about hot flashes. I mean, you don't hear that every day, but it does feel like menopause is finally getting the attention it deserves.
Absolutely.
For anyone out there who might not be totally familiar with menopause, it's this totally natural biological transition that every woman goes through. Usually starts, in their 40s or 50s. Hormones change can lead to all sorts of symptoms, and it's been, unfortunately, really hush-hush for far too long. Stigmatized, really. That's
Exactly.
why this is so important. It's a
Yeah.
turning point, right?
Right.
Medically, societally, how we think about menopause.
Yeah, a real turning point.
So we've got this big investment, right?
Yeah.
And we've got the Menopause Research and Equity Act, the executive order. Break it down for us. What do they actually do?
Sure. Well, let's start with the Menopause Research and Equity Act. So this act's trying to deal with these big gaps in our knowledge about menopause. They want more funding for research, right?
Yeah.
So we can really dig into the biology of it all, understand the long-term health effects, and come up with treatments that actually work for different women's experiences. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation, right?
Right. So we're talking about getting actual answers about what's going on in women's bodies, not just masking the symptoms,
Exactly.
figuring out the root causes.
Yeah. And then you've got the White House executive order, which is pushing for like better access to good care and education. So that's about making sure women can find healthcare providers who really know their stuff about menopause and making sure they have good, solid information so they can make the best decisions for their health.
So it's kind of like a two-pronged attack. You've got better research to understand it, and then you've got better resources to help women who are going through it.
Right.
But what about the stigma, the whole hush-hush thing? How do these changes address that?
Well, this is where raising awareness and just talking about it openly comes in.
Okay.
I mean, when you have people like senators, these influential figures, talking about hot flashes, it normalizes the whole conversation. It gives other people permission to talk about it too.
It's like it's okay to say, hey, this is real, it's happening, let's talk.
Exactly.
But $275 million,
Yeah.
that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, what are some of the challenges in making sure it's actually used well?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
One big one is making sure the funding is distributed fairly. We've got to make sure these resources reach everybody, all communities, all women.
So not just a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right. I mean, menopause affects women of all different backgrounds, races, economic situations, and it affects them in different ways. Research and care have to reflect that,
So what does that look like in practice? How do we make sure the research and the care are truly inclusive and equitable?
Well, it takes planning, for one thing, and we need outreach that's, targeted. Researchers need to be thinking about what different groups of women need specifically, what challenges they face,
Right.
and design studies that take those things into account. We also need to make sure healthcare providers are sensitive to different cultures, that they can actually give care that's relevant.
Yeah, makes sense. Equitable distribution
Yeah.
is key. But what other challenges should we be thinking about?
Well, we also need to think about, what we're focusing on in terms of research. Obviously, new medications are important,
Sure.
but we can't forget about all the other approaches, like lifestyle changes and all that. Those shouldn't be ignored.
Right. So we're not just looking for a magic pill solution.
Yeah.
We need to look at things like lifestyle changes,
Right.
maybe alternative therapies, taking a more holistic approach.
Exactly. I mean, those things can be really powerful for managing symptoms. Improving overall well-being, things like yoga, meditation, diet changes, acupuncture,
Right.
even cognitive behavioral therapy. There's some promising research there. all of those have shown good results for things like hot flashes and mood swings, sleep problems, you know, all the usual menopause stuff.
Yeah.
We need to invest in research that really explores all those options, give women a full toolkit, you know, not just one thing.
I see what you mean. It feels like if we don't explore those other avenues, mm-hmm. we're really missing out, and maybe even kind of framing menopause the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a disease that needs to be cured.
Exactly.
Instead of just a natural transition, something yeah. you can manage with the right tools and support.
Right. And, you know, with all this new funding, there's danger that we could see companies rushing to get new products and treatments out there.
Oh, that's a good point.
Maybe before they're really ready,
yeah.
before we know enough.
Yeah, I could see how that would be tempting. All this new interest, everyone's talking about menopause.
Yeah.
Companies might see dollar signs and not focus on the science so much.
Exactly. It's crucial that anything new, whether it's a drug or something else, is studied really carefully. It has to be safe and effective. We can't rush that.
It sounds like a balanced approach is important, right?
Absolutely.
We celebrate the progress, get excited about the good that could come from all of this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we stay aware of the potential downsides.
Mm.
And we push for ethical research, responsible research.
Right. And that's where informed consumers and patient advocacy groups are so important. You know, women need to stay up to date on the research. They need to understand what the benefits and risks are for different treatments. And they need to demand transparency from companies, researchers, everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So with all these challenges, you know, the potential pitfalls, what does a good future look like? I mean, for menopause care and research, what are we aiming for here?
Well, imagine, you know, a world where menopause isn't something we hide anymore, where women have access to treatments that are made just for them.
Personalized treatments.
Yeah, exactly. Tailored to their needs, what they want, their medical history.
That sounds amazing. But what would that look like? In real life, I mean.
Well, think about genetic testing.
Okay.
What if that became a normal part of menopause care?
Interesting.
Doctors could look at your genes, right? See if you're at risk for certain problems, osteoporosis, heart disease, that kind of thing. And then they can, like, catch things early.
Oh, wow.
And prevent problems. And all of that would be tailored to you specifically based on your genes.
That's fascinating. So it's not just one size fits all anymore.
Exactly. And another possibility is treatments for hot flashes and other symptoms that don't involve hormones.
Okay.
I mean, hormone therapy is the best option for a lot of women right now, but it can come with risks. Mm-hmm. And some women can't take hormones or they just don't want to. So, you know, research into those non-hormonal options could be really important.
It sounds like women would have more choices in the future, more control.
Right.
And better information to make decisions with. That's empowering.
It is. And it's not just about managing the symptoms, you know. All this research, it could really help us understand the long-term health effects of menopause.
What kind of long-term effects are we talking about?
Well, menopause is linked to all sorts of health issues. Heart disease, osteoporosis, problems with thinking and memory, even some cancers.
Really?
Yeah. So if we understand how hormones work, how genes play a role, how lifestyle affects things,
right.
we can maybe find ways to reduce those risks, help women stay healthy as they age.
So it's not just about getting through the hot flashes, but about thriving in the second half of life.
Exactly. And maybe the biggest change of all would be how society sees menopause.
You mean like not seeing it as a negative thing anymore?
Right. What if we saw it as natural, as a positive transition?
As something to be celebrated, even.
Exactly. A time for growth and new beginnings, where women feel supported and empowered instead of, you know, feeling like they should be ashamed or something.
I like that. It feels like we really are at a turning point culturally.
I think so. And it's important to celebrate that. But we also have to be realistic. We've got a lot of work to do to make sure these changes help all women. But the momentum is there, that's for sure. The future looks promising.
Yeah, it does. So bringing it back to our listener, what's the main takeaway? What do you want them to remember from this deep dive?
I think the most important thing is that menopause is finally getting the attention it deserves.
Yeah.
People are talking about it. We're trying to solve the problems.
And that's exciting. But it's not just about waiting for things to change, is it?
Right. Our listeners can be part of this movement.
How so?
Stay informed. Keep the conversation going. Talk to people about it. Friends, family, doctors.
Uh-huh.
Share resources. Challenge those old stereotypes. And advocate for more research and more support.
So it's about being open about it. Mm. Making it okay for women to talk about their experiences and get help if they need it.
Exactly. And it's not just on women to do this. You know, we need policymakers, healthcare systems, even employers to get involved.
So what would that look like? A menopause-friendly workplace? What needs to change?
Well, for one thing, companies could be more flexible. You know, offer support for women going through menopause.
Okay.
Things like flexible schedules, access to information and resources, maybe even training for managers so they understand what their employees are dealing with.
So it's about recognizing that menopause is normal. It's not a weakness.
Right.
And supporting women through it at work and in their personal lives.
Exactly. And it's not just about dealing with the symptoms, you know. It's about recognizing that women in this age group have a lot to offer.
Right.
Experience, wisdom. They can be great leaders. Companies that understand that, they're the ones that are really going to benefit.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered a lot today. Big funding announcements, the challenges, what the future could hold. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listener with something to think about. Something really thought-provoking. We've talked about, you know, research and money and how people think about menopause. But let's get a little more personal. Imagine, like, a world where menopause isn't just accepted, it's celebrated, where it's seen as, you know, a time when women can really do anything,
yeah.
A new phase of life full of possibility and purpose. Mm. What could you do to make that happen?
Wow. That's a big question. It really makes you think about, you know, more than just managing the symptoms or getting better health care. It's like we need to rethink what this whole stage of life can be. What if we didn't fear it?
Right.
What if we actually look forward to menopause as a time to, you know, break free, discover new things about ourselves, maybe even find new energy and creativity.
Is it like a superpower or something?
Yeah, exactly. It's about recognizing how strong and resilient women become through all their experiences.
Mm.
Menopause is part of that. It's about challenging the idea that getting older makes women less valuable. And it starts with us, how we think about it, the words we use, the stories we tell.
Yeah, it's about changing the story, isn't it?
Exactly. Instead of thinking of menopause as a decline, it's a transformation, a time to grow and evolve.
And that can be really powerful.
It is. Women often find a new sense of purpose, you know? Maybe they rediscover passions they had to put aside. They understand themselves and their place in the world better.
That's really inspiring. And it makes you realize how important it is to support women going through menopause, create a space where they feel like they belong.
Absolutely. Menopause doesn't have to be something you go through alone. When women have a community, whether online or in person, they can help each other through it, share what they've learned, encourage each other, and just not feel so isolated, you know?
So turning what's often seen as a personal struggle into like a shared experience where everyone grows and feels empowered.
Exactly. And it's not just women who need to be part of this. Men need to be involved too. When men learn about menopause, they can be allies, advocates. They can help create a more understanding environment for the women in their lives.
That's a good point. This isn't just a women's issue, right?
Right. It affects everyone. Families, workplaces, society. Everyone benefits when women are supported through menopause.
Yeah, I agree. It's about empathy, understanding, respecting all stages of life, valuing women at every age. Creating a world where they can thrive no matter what.
Well said.
So, to our listener, wherever you are in your journey, whether you're going through menopause, supporting someone who is, or just curious about it, your voice matters. What you do matters. And together, we can make menopause something we celebrate, not something we hide.
This has been a really great deep dive. I hope our listener is feeling as excited as I am about what the future holds for menopause.
Me too. Feels like we're really starting to change how we think about this part of a woman's life. And to our listener, thanks for joining us. Keep asking questions, keep pushing for change, and keep believing in a better future for all women. Until next time, stay curious.